greet you in the name of Jesus. I am delighted to be here and very blessed. I had said, Levi can go ahead and share, and after I said that, I was like, I would actually be disappointed. Not in thinking that I have something that you don't know about, but I am inspired and feel blessed that God is living and he wants to live in all of us. And we can share that love with each other, and I feel blessed this morning that we can gather in this way. So thank you all for coming. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We humble our hearts before you this morning. We know that through ourselves, how we heard this morning already, how Paul said he rejoices in his infirmities so that the power of God can rest upon him. And Lord, we want to recognize that we are weak and that through you we can be strong, and that you want to use us as your vessels, and you want to show your glorious power and your might through us if we allow you to do that. Father, we're here this morning. We want you to be exalted, and we ask that you be here with us today as brothers and sisters, Lord, that we can share together of your love and of the grace of life, and Father, that more captives can be made free. Father, we thank you for the freedom that you gave to the ones in Haiti, and we ask for the saving of many more souls that are in bondage, and we ask that you would continue. We know that a lot of people are celebrating the birth of Christ, which they only call Christmas. And Father, we know that you had a much greater purpose when you sent your son Jesus here. And we ask that you would show us again today more of that full plan that you had. And we ask that you are here with us, that we can be vessels for you. And Father, that I can speak what you would have me speak. Pray that you would be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of God. A lot of these thoughts I will be referring some back to our brothers and sisters, what they experienced in Haiti with helping us to see what was happening there so that the power of God could work. What were the conditions? What does God want of us? And what is God looking at us for so that he can use us to show his power to more people? So that's kind of the heart of what I'm desiring to share with y'all. Because we know that we have a faithful God, as we heard this morning already, that God is faithful. We can trust him, and he sent his son, Jesus, and he gave us his word that we can have all the answers, that we can have a pattern to show us where to go, what to do. We need the Spirit. And he sent his son, Jesus, because he saw a need in all of us. Every one of us has a need. And a need of direction in our life. And a need of his Spirit and his help every moment. I'm going to turn to John 10 to start out here. I'm just going to start in verse 1. Verily, Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. And we saw that in the lesson that Simon gave to the children. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If we enter in through the pattern that Jesus gave us, we shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And with the thought of Jesus being born, celebrating his birth, are we getting the picture why Jesus actually came? So that we can have life and more abundantly. Because a lot of people are celebrating Christmas and hardly think about the plan that God actually brought. And what, I'm not saying that we shouldn't celebrate Christ, but what are people seeing of us? Our families, how, when they come into our house, when we go into their houses, do they see us celebrating Christmas, or do they see us celebrating Christ and for who he was? And another thing that stood out to me was Jesus came by his Father's appointment, so-called. He came for a purpose. He didn't come so that we can celebrate his birth. He came to fulfill a plan that God had in store for him. And a lot of that plan was the need that he saw for every one of us, from generation to generation and on past us yet. And the beautiful part is, it wasn't Jesus' idea, but he was under the authority of his Father. He came for us because his Father said, you need to go, because there is a need. And through that, he came to fulfill his Father's will. The plan. He had a plan in mind. And he was looking to his Father for that plan to fulfill it. And that plan is the plan of salvation. The purpose that Jesus came for us today. So should we rejoice that Jesus was born? Yes. I think we can daily rejoice that Jesus was born. And I think we should daily rejoice that he died. Because really, we don't hear much about his rejoicing over his death at Christmas time. It's a lot of the birth things, and rightfully so, but we should also be rejoicing that he gave his life so that we can be set free. And while thinking about the power of God and that he came for us to have a more abundant life, My thoughts went to what really was happening to our brothers and sisters as a group, what was happening so the power of God could work. Because we very clearly see and know that God moved in a marvelous way. It wasn't by their strength, it wasn't by what they thought was best, but they were seeking God with all of their heart. They were trying to figure out what would God want us in here, and how does he want to deliver us? Or they were observing and looking for ways that God was leading them, and how they came together in one to go. It's powerful. But were there any conditions that had to be met so that they could have that oneness, so that they could... I'd like for us to think about the conditions, and then I'd like to have some feedback on that. What were the conditions that God had for them that they needed to meet for his power to come forth? And then that refers to all of us here, because God is looking down on every one of us, and he has a plan for every one of us. And he's looking to display his power through us. But then I also thought of Simon wanted that same power when he saw Philip. Wow, there's great power coming out of Philip. He's healing people. He's laying hands on people and healing them. He wanted that power too. So I don't want to display that we need to be seeking for God's power so that people can say, wow, I want the same power he has. But yet, if we listen to the testimonies, something was happening apart from what they were doing. There was a higher power moving than what we can do. And what were the conditions that they were conditioning themselves so God could use them? Or do we think that God just granted them the right thoughts, or were they intentional giving their life in ways and in areas and in submitting one to another and loving each other? What were the things that they were conditioned so that God's power could work? Because we know that Jesus came with a purpose, and he wants us to have a purpose in our life. And with that purpose, he wants us to have a more abundant life. So while thinking about the conditions that God has, for us, I was thinking of how can we illustrate, simple illustrations, if we think about power, if we think about God loves to move, God wants to move, God loves if people are willing to do what he asked them to do. But if we think about powerful things on this earth, we think about big machinery, we think about things that people put together and, wow, that was amazing, that was powerful, but it's man putting it together. And one thought I had with that was we could use the illustration of Brother Joshua's dump truck. Powerful piece of equipment. But what are there elements and things that make that piece of equipment powerful? Because if there's not just a seat and a steering wheel and he's ready to go. There's some other things that need to be there to make that piece of equipment a powerful piece of equipment. And it needs to be the big enough motor. If he has a little car motor in there, probably not going to be a powerful piece of equipment. What about the drive shaft? Does that need to be big enough so it can actually get this machinery going and moving and doing what it needs to be doing for it to display its power. Axles, wheels, dump bed, cylinder, pumps, all of that needs to work together so that this thing can work, so that it can actually show its power. But God is probably not that structural, that he has everything needs to be in order so that his power, or is it? I think God has some things that we need to have in order so he can show his power. What about the fuel? If the tank is empty, probably no power will come out of that piece of equipment. So now I've got your mind going. So what are some thoughts that you've been having? If we think about a big piece of equipment that needs to have all these parts and the right size parts so that it can do what it's supposed to do, what are some thoughts that you're having on what are the things that need to be in place in my life so that the power of God can even flow through us? And there's some very big things that need to be in place, and then some other things that are probably smaller, but they're still needed. Yes, Reuben. Humility? Actually, I'll just write some down. Any others? Any others? What's that? Our mind? So does our mind need to be conditioned so that God can work? Amen. Any others? What needs to be in place so that the power of God can flow through us? Our hearts need to be right with God. Amen. And let's keep in mind, the power of God is not our power, but it is God's power through us. Any others?
One of the things that can't be in place is ourselves.
Amen. I'll write that over here. Maybe we'll just do that now. I was thinking maybe later we can do it, but let's do that now. What other things are there that keep us from the love of God, from the God working through us, that his power can actually work? Sin. It's what Jesus came for, to take sin away. Fear. Unbelief. Any others? reason I put the Holy Spirit down is because that's an essential part of the motor to be running. If we don't have fuel in the motor, if the Spirit isn't there filling us, probably God won't work. And a little story with that is, I think some of you brothers know that a couple weeks ago I put gas in a diesel car and I had no power to go on because of the little sensor that kept the fuel from, or the gas from going into the diesel engine, which was a blessing that it didn't ruin the motor. But without fuel, there's no power there. Motor doesn't start. I'll read a couple verses just in adding to some of this. Faith is a big thing. If we don't have faith, if we don't believe, and I think often we kind of tend to unintentionally, we kind of doubt. We kind of, it's probably not going to happen this way. It's that claiming God's promises and having faith. And I find that for myself a real thing, that we were meeting every evening to pray for them in Haiti, but some evenings, are we thinking that this will act, God will actually move? But then other evenings, yes, I believe that God is faithful and he will move in his timing. But some evenings it was like kind of doubting. I wasn't believing and claiming the promises that God has in his word. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the word of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 15:13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Example of that in Acts 6, where Stephen, full of faith. He was full of faith. So that means there was no unbelief, no doubt. He was full of faith. It was only faith. There was no speck of doubt in his mind. And what happened? Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Among the people that he was in contact with, he did great signs and wonders because he was full of faith. So faith is a big thing. If we don't have faith, if we doubt a little bit, we're like the waves of the sea, is what James says. Ephesians 1, verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1. Starting in verse 7 to the end. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." So it is very important that we know God. If we don't know him, there's a judgment coming. "And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Is obedience an important thing? "That obey not the gospel, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. So Christ wants to be admired in all of us that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So we could doubt even the testimonies of our brothers and sisters sharing what happened. We could start doubting that. And then we wouldn't believe what the power of God actually did. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and every one of us who believe, and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I put the word of God up here is in Matthew 22, they had a dispute. They were questioning Jesus on this woman that had seven husbands. So whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So is it important that we know the scriptures? Is it important that for the power of God to be flowing through us, we need to have the word of God? Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. My thoughts again went to the ones in Haiti. What were they faithing, and what were they willing to give? We'll come back to some more thoughts on that. Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Second Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I think Uriah had shared that verse. And I took it that Paul was glorying, that in himself he saw he had a need. In himself he couldn't do it. He was glorying that he could see himself not being able to do it, but the power of God could rest upon him. So while we're thinking about the suffering, and that's a challenge to all of us here in America, we weren't facing, and we're not facing, what they were facing down there. They were suffering. They were up against darkness, to the wearying of their own bodies, and in prayer and in supplication. A week. At times, I think there was much weakness. But could God show his strength when we are weak? When we see that we need him? When we see that this is the only way out? One of the verses we read said, even unto death. Were they willing to die? That's the testimonies I'm hearing. They're willing to die. They told the guards often, you can kill us and we'll go home. Different. They were preaching to them every day is what some testimonies are. And with the illustration that David gave of darkness coming in, I mean, we tend to fear. But I'm amazed at the boldness and the power that they had and claimed because of knowing God, they didn't fear to die. They were willing to give their life. I would delight to sit down with one of those gang members and hear their side of the story. And I think we should continue to pray for them, and maybe someday they will share their story with us. Because they are still probably in captivity, a lot of them. And today we can be here rejoicing that they are free. They're back home. But what needed to happen so that they could be one and the power of God could move so that they could be free? Because without the moving of God, they could not have been free. And if we take that to all of us in the state of not being converted, we are in that same bondage. And without the power of God moving and us believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder, and claiming those promises that Uriah was sharing, we won't be able to have the power of God, and the power of God won't move. Do you think patience was important for them? And I'm saying this and referring to them, but I also want us to think about us here as a brotherhood. We're thinking about them, and I'm relating to them because we know that the power of God moved and the power of God released them. But what had to happen so that could happen is why I'm doing this. We hear a lot of testimonies that they were singing. They had joy in their hearts. In that time of guns and lack of food sometimes and lack of other things, they were singing. Do we have that joy in our hearts personally, that we can actually face anything that may come from brothers and sisters? They were even sometimes hurting each other because of things they said, or because of feeling that others didn't believe like they did, or whatever it may be. But God didn't allow them to be released at that time. But when they were all one with God, and then God moved. And I think that's the same. God's will for us here at Bethlehem is the same today. He wants to move in all of us. And as marriages, as families, as a church body, God wants to move. But if we're separated, if we're not together in what God wants for us, we won't move forward. The power of God won't move. And I'm amazed. If we think about, they did not have the Bible, but did they? They had it in their hearts. They didn't have a songbook, but they had songs memorized. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. They sang that often. Are the angels here encamping round about us so that the power of God can be shown? Did they have peace? Was their mind at peace that all will be well? We're children of God. If we even die in this fight, we'll go home. Do we have that confidence? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith shouldn't stand in now we have things together where we can move forward, where I do this and he does that, and now everything, not saying that we don't need to do that in obedience to God. But if we are faithful in Christ and our focus is on what God wants, his power will show itself. And if we look over here on the what keeps us from having that power, so we need God's power in a lot of that. We need the new birth. We need boldness. We need faith to actually overcome sin, self, fear, unbelief, pride. If we don't renounce that, if we don't go against that, and we have faith in what God wants, that will take us down. Because if there's sin in our life, the power of God won't work. If we have unbelief in our life, the power of God won't work. First Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, Paul was saying to the Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross, the preaching of suffering, the preaching of the plan of God is to give your life. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. The ones that are perishing, to them it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. To us that are saved, the preaching of God's word is direction. It's the light for us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't come with his own thing that he's a good speaker and he can really tell the people. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, the suffering of Jesus. And I was with you, what? In weakness? Paul was weak? A lot of verses we don't see that. We see him as a strong young man, diligent, vibrant, going against what was evil. But here it says he was weak and in fear. And in much trembling. So he knew, he saw the battle, and he saw it was real. And I think that's where we need to examine ourselves. Do we see the battle that we're fighting today? There's a lot of darkness all around us. Are we fighting against it, or are we allowing it to influence us? And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do we need God's power this morning for our life to actually be fruitful? For us to give direction to our children? We need much wisdom. We need the power of God. Because if we talk about godly families, without the power of God, we won't have a godly family. Jesus came for a purpose, and he fulfilled that to the end. He gave his life so that the power of God could be displayed in his life. He was only a vessel for his Father to come and fulfill the purpose that his Father had for him. And he's looking to us as individuals to continue that pattern through what Jesus brought for us. So if we are here rejoicing today that God sent his son, the plan is fulfilled, and his power is available to work in all of us, are we willing to give our lives? And I think God was moving among us with all these prayer meetings and gathering together. It seemed like a long time that I've seen y'all because of not meeting a couple days. And I think that's good. But God wants to move and wants to show his power to the world, to the unbelieving, that these people believe in something. These people are willing to suffer. What is it? What makes people curious of what we have? They're so patient. They love like Jesus loved. I was just challenged with, as we listen to these testimonies and as we observe how the power of God moved, let's continue to think about these things and the oneness that we see in John 17, that Jesus and the Father were one, and his heart's desire is that we are one, and the power of God moving in all that. Let's not be unbelieving, but let's believe. Because if we don't believe, I think our motor is too small and we can't even get anywhere. Because our motor isn't powerful enough to even get up the hill. Especially if we have the burden of sin, the burden of self, and all these things piled on us, and the motor's not big enough to even. So we need to get all rid of all that, and we need to believe that God is able to help us overcome those things. And I think that's some snares that we can get trapped in, is the snare of not overcoming some of these things. And it keeps us from wholly giving our lives to God so that his power can flow. We sang a verse, or the verses in the song 220. I'd like to turn back to Isaiah chapter 9 in closing here. There's a prophecy of that song. For unto us a child is born unto us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do we see him as wonderful? Is his name wonderful to us? When we think about his birth, when we think about his death, what he gave, what he did, is his name wonderful to us? Is he a counselor to us? Is he a mighty God? Powerful. The everlasting Father, generation to generation and all eternity. The Prince of Peace. So he does away with turmoil, with confusion, with, because there's peace, there's hope, there's love. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Wonderful promise. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, ever, even forever. This next phrase here in verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I think that zeal is the same word as power. And this was a prophecy of Jesus coming, and his zeal shall continue. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The everlasting, it will continue in the to show himself that he is wonderful, that he is the counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Are we following him with all of our heart this morning? Lord bless you.